over the next couple of Sundays as we roll into Christmas. Our theme will be Unto Us, and I just want to unpack very briefly, get us started in this passage, but I want to do a couple reminders before we get going too far into my message real quick. Just be a reminder, next week, special start of the service, 10 a.m., but you will not want to miss one of the performances, whether it's at 10 a.m. next Sunday or 4 p.m. next Saturday afternoon of the Chapter 7 Christmas. This is going to be a fun one. This is a great opportunity for you to invite people from your work, your neighbors, to an opportunity that maybe they wouldn't go to church because they'd be afraid, or not afraid, maybe a normal service wouldn't interest them. And this is an opportunity that gives you the opportunity to invite them and just say, hey, it'll be fun. We can go to lunch afterwards, or make it a day. And who are you praying for? Who are you looking to invite? Who are you looking to bring? Because it's an opportunity in a really fun way to present the gospel to your friends and family and coworkers. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. And also, don't forget, on Christmas Eve, we will have a special tradition of a candlelight and communion service at 6 o'clock. You will not want to miss that. It's just wonderful. So the theme over the next couple weeks, I'll start today, and 2 weeks from today on December 22nd, I'll unpack a little more. But I want us to look at just a brief thought from Isaiah chapter 9, looking at verse 6. And I've entitled this message, The Best Christmas Card Ever. Maybe you've received a Christmas card in the past that is just meaningful to you. And I have one in my office. In fact, actually, I have several in my office. I've got them tucked away through in between some of the books in my office because I didn't want to lose them, even in the move, because I've had them for a couple years. I have the last Christmas card that my sister ever wrote to me. I have some of the last couple from my mom. And especially this Christmas, that'll be very meaningful. And yet, one of those parts about the great Christmas card of it all, we see in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Look at it with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. See, Isaiah is one of the great Hebrew prophets who's writing to encourage the Israel people who are at one of their lowest points in their history, that there is a Messiah that is coming. There is hope coming. In fact, with this verse, he's basically saying, Christmas is coming. And I want to focus in on today the first couple words that are in this verse, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. See, there's two sides to the Christmas story. The first is the human side, a child is born. So yes, it's a child, a human child. This is the most printed, most copied, most widely dispersed Christmas card of all time. You will more than likely have, for unto us a child is born, on a lot of the Christmas cards you might have gotten. So maybe you're here for the first time, maybe even for the first time you're in church, and you're like, man, that sounds vaguely familiar. Well, this is why. It comes from this verse, and it's been the most printed part, most received Christmas card ever. And it screams Christmas because it's unto us. And I want to focus not just on the baby side this morning, but I couldn't help with doing the baby dedications. It sets a real good, vivid picture of a child. The innocence of how the Son of God came into the world to begin with was just like what we saw with the children that we dedicated this morning. But we can't stop there because it just wasn't a child. It is also the second part, a son is given, the divine side. See, it just wasn't just a child that was born. It was a son that was given, and just not a son. It was, so this isn't just a repetition of words. This isn't a reiteration for a purpose of emphasis. This is distinct. Just not a child, but a son is given. And it's the Son of God's Son. So when we approach Christmas, we can have a confidence to be reminded that there is a value to this gift. There is a God who loves you and is seeking you. And so often as we head into this season that is going to be full of lights and tinsel, music and noise, mall parking lots, Amazon shopping lists, and you can go down the thing, meetings, office parties, it's going to be busy season, but let me tell you, don't miss out on what our kids already spoke to us about, is not missing the wrappings and the trappings. Don't miss the meaning of what this season is all about. And what it reminds us and it screams to us is that you are loved. You are deeply loved. You are deeply sought after. God said, I'm going to take the first step to you. A child was given, but it was his son that he gave. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, very familiar. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son in the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. It's priceless. See, this is where Christmas starts. So on a weekend when we're celebrating as a church, launching into this Christmas season, Christmas starts here. Why would God do this? Christmas starts here. Why? Because we broke God's plan. God's plan was that we would have a relationship with him. And the Bible is pretty clear. Anytime we live our life our way and not God's way, that's sin in any type. And that sin will always disconnect us from him. A simple little word called sin, but it has huge consequences. Because of sin, we walk with guilt and shame. With sin, we walk separated from a God who wants to know us. But God, who is holy, he's a holy spiritual being. And the reality is, with people with sin, he can't be in the presence or be in a relationship with them. But our God, even though we are eternally flawed, our God sought a way. See, Christmas starts here because here is what happened. The what is God says, you know what? You'll never get to me. On your very best days, your best behavior, the best things that you could always do, although they're good, will never be enough. I'm coming to free you, God would say. You can never do, but I can bridge the gap. The prophets begin writing about this day, and Isaiah was one of them, that God will bring salvation. And it's not just for the Jewish people, it's for all people. This is a Christmas Christian thing. Our entire calendar, 2024, screams a reminder that 2024 years ago, something happened. God split time. God split time by sending his son, Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. 2024 years ago, he sent his son as a baby, innocent, and very defenseless. Sends his son into the world, into absolute poverty. He was born in a manger, which that's a dressed up feeding trough over there. But we can't get our mind off of this, that God would send his son into the world. And why would he do it? What happened is he brought his son to be the greatest gift for us. God split time, who this Jesus didn't stay to be a baby. He grew up to be a man. He lived a sinless life, fully man yet fully God. And he went to a cross to pay the sacrifice for our sins. See, this is how the Christmas story starts. And it starts right here. So we know the why and the what, but how? See, he would go on to be nailed to a cross. He will pay the price for us. Someone has to pay. And Jesus did that by taking his life on the cross. Someone had to cover my life with another life. Jesus did that for all of us. God said he would make a way, and Jesus did that for us. The Son, who was an active creator in creation, that Son came as a baby, but went on to live and die and rise again for us. See, one of the wonderful parts about this is that Jesus, when he gives us a life, he just doesn't come to take our old life and make that somewhat remodeled new. It's a complete transformation. He gives us an entirely new life. He transforms us. See, the old Kent on May 13th, 1981, when I can go back to that moment where I really gave my heart to Christ, my life was changed dramatically. Because the old wasn't just fixed up a little bit, it was a complete transformation, and God has that for every person in this place today. That when we begin to give our hearts and life to Him, when we ask in repentance and forgiveness, God, get rid of my old life, I want a new one, He will do it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given. See, a child who is divine, a Savior, is a reminder for all of us today. It's great news. It's amazing news. It's news that we can, a message that we can declare, that we can be personally known and loved by our Creator. God wants you to know that He wants to know you personally, and that you can personally know Him. You can have a relationship, and just know He wants a relationship with you this morning. It's just not enough that you know this amazing news, but what do you do with it? There's really only one decision that you can really make. The only choice is this. The only choice you have is either accept or reject this gift. And this isn't about joining a church. This isn't about anything other than establishing a relationship with Jesus. See, when someone gives you a gift, you have a choice. You either take it and unwrap it, or do you reject it? And the choice is yours. We're not going to convict you. We are not going to coerce you. This is a private decision that every person makes, but I encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity God has brought you to this place today. And that our kids did an amazing job to let us know about the joy to this world that our God would send His Son for us. For unto us a child was born, for unto us a son was given. And what that son went on to do, He did for all of us. But it's up to us, will we accept or reject? It's a matter of what we do, and we start the acceptance side by faith. Simply by acknowledging in your heart a faith to say, and it sounds very similar to this, Lord, come into my life. I invite You in. Forgive me of my sin, of doing things my own way, of distancing myself from You. I want to have a relationship with You. It's a simple prayer. And I encourage you today, would you examine your heart? Where are you at? Where do you stand with the Lord today? Because God wants you to know the greatest Christmas card of all was written for you, and it was done 2,024 years ago. It came to us. What will you do, accept or reject? Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. And Father, thank You for this season. That Father, we have the opportunity to just admire that we have a God who's personal, who sees us where we're at. You see us on our worst day, and yet You still want to have a relationship with us. Our worst sin, our worst stuff and worst baggage in our life is not enough to turn You and turn from Your love. To those who will call on Your name, You hear and You respond. And so, Lord, I pray today that You will just speak to hearts and lives, that, Lord, if there are those today that need to give their heart to You, may they do it in this moment. Father, may they not just put it off for another day. May they start to take a moment and realize the most certain time I have is right now. There is no better time. And Father, I pray that You will speak to hearts and draw them to You. With every head bowed, I ask this question here today. If you are here today and maybe for the first time you need to accept this gift, we're talking about transformative power, just not knowledge. But if you need to invite Jesus in for the very first time, or maybe you know you've been walking to a point you need to rededicate yourself to that relationship. And if that's you, regardless of your age, regardless of the stage, regardless of what you feel like you are not worthy enough, you need to know God sees you as worthy. That's why He sent His Son in the first place. That's why He sought for this day, that on December 8th, we would be here in this room together. We would be online together so that you would know that there's a God that cares for you, and He's got a plan for your life. And it's much bigger and deeper than what you think it is, because he loves you. And if you need to accept that gift today or rededicate yourself in a relationship to him, would you just look up and look at me? I want to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. There are others. Thank you. Wonderful. I want everyone to say this prayer with me. If this is the intent of your heart, is everyone, if this is your heart, let's pray this. Heavenly Father, thank you for not giving up on me. Forgive me of my sin, living life my own way. Come into my life. Be my leader and my Savior. I trust in you alone. Do a new work in my life. Transform me. I want a relationship with you. Let it begin. In Jesus' name. Amen.